Welcome to the Directions on Microsoft Briefing podcast. I'm Mary Jo Foley, the editor-in-chief here at Directions. I'm your host for the series of podcasts designed for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. The Directions on Microsoft Briefing brings you the best insights from the best independent Microsoft watching firm in the business, Directions on Microsoft. Directions has been focused on providing Microsoft IT planning and negotiation information since 1992. Today's Directions on Microsoft Briefing is going to be the fourth in a multi-part series on licensing that we're calling the Advisor Podcast. The Advisor episodes cover the key phases of a Microsoft license negotiation, from project management and discovery to negotiation preparation and potential levers you can use to advantage. My guest for this episode, which is all about the negotiation preparation phase of EA agreements, is Directions on Microsoft's Dean Bedwell. Dean oversees Directions advisory business and works with organizations to optimize their Microsoft licensing agreements. He also trains organizations on Microsoft licensing negotiation strategies and tactics. Before he joined Directions on Microsoft, Dean was president of Software Asset Advisors, a software licensing consultancy. And prior to that, Dean spent 11 years at Microsoft managing the Canadian business desk, where he was responsible for negotiating agreements with Microsoft's largest enterprise and public sector customers. Hi, Dean. Thank you so much for joining the podcast with me today.
Well, hello, Mary Jo, and thank you so much for that kind introduction.
You are welcome. So in our EA podcast series so far, we have talked about project management, discovery and analysis, and today is all about the next phase, negotiation. So let's start there. Dean, in terms of EA negotiations, what is negotiation and why does it matter?
Well, let me first start off by talking a little bit about the high-level process, and then we'll talk about why negotiation is important.
Okay.
First of all, it is important to have a process because otherwise you will run out of time and not be able to deliver the best optimized contract in the future. One of the phases is discovery, where we've talked about in earlier podcasts, where we collect information and understand the requirements of a customer. Then you analyze some of the information, produce licensing models. The culmination of that is really what you're going to do with Microsoft, which is the negotiation phase. And the negotiation phase is really where the rubber hits the road. It's where you as a customer request the proposals for the Microsoft licenses that you require and any concessions that'll meet your business or legal requirements. And the outcome of the negotiation is really the final contract package that the customer will move forward with over the next couple of years. This will identify the products you purchased, how you can use them, any pricing, the quantities, and any of the changes you needed to meet your business and regulatory requirements. And so the negotiation is really the part where it's all about how you can use the Microsoft products in the future.
Okay. You're talking about customers having a negotiation plan. So what needs to be in that and who has to be involved in creating it for it to really work?
First of all, the negotiation plan should be based on a SWOT analysis you do of the situation and the customer to understand what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what the opportunity is, so that you could help negotiate or build a plan for how you're going to negotiate with Microsoft. And I would recommend that you think of the negotiation plan in terms of three pillars. What are the financials you require? Could be discounts. What are the business concessions you require? Things like changes in the product terms. Or what are some of the legal things you require? Maybe a change in limitation of liability. And you need to think of the negotiation plan as an internal plan and an external plan. And you're there to document all of your requests. The negotiation outline should have what's your request. Oh, I would like a discount. You need to have the rationale why you need that discount. What's the business reason? And then you need to put some thought to what do you think Microsoft's first response is going to be? also have a priority assigned to this? Is it a high priority? Is it a low priority? What's your fallback position? Well, if you ask for 30% and they give you 10, what would you negotiate to? And then you need a placeholder for comments. Now, some of these things will be in the, or all of them will be in the internal document, but the external document that you give to Microsoft, obviously you're going to strip out the things that are negotiation related, like priority or fallback position.
Right.
And who should be involved in this? It's really the team that you have in the process of the EA renewal should be involved, and the lead negotiator who needs to be so crisp on the answers are going to be probably a combination of your technical lead and your business slash procurement lead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you suggest customers come up with their Microsoft wish list or request list? How do they think, how should they think about prioritizing when they're making these lists?
That's a great question. This isn't a list that is, you know, specific or is general for every single customer. It is specific and it's based on your requirements. That's why you need to do a discovery phase of what's your current state, what's your future state, what's the transition, what type of competitive alternatives do you have in your organization, what are the, does the contract say, what are some of the rules in the contract that you may need to change due to regulatory requirements or even business requirements? And then from the analysis side, maybe you need to have something based on the use of profiles, and you need to change some of the product terms based on how you are, have assembled the products. And so the negotiation list is really the culmination of what comes out of discovery and analysis. The other part that I would tell you is that you need to sort of learn all that you can about the products so that you can ask the appropriate questions. Do you need external connectors? What's a person that is not an employee? How do you deal with them? And then once you have all that, you will need to prioritize based on business needs, because not everything you request in your outline you're going to get. There's usually about a 5-to-1 trade away. And some of those things that you do require, if they have a strong business case or they are regulatory in nature, you'll have a better chance of getting.
Okay. So when we were preparing for this podcast and we were talking about what we were going to discuss, you told me you advise customers not just to be on the offense, but also on the defense. They need to anticipate Microsoft's likely responses to their requests, as you mentioned previously. So I know you used to work on the licensing business desk, which is now called the deal desk at Microsoft, for years. So you probably still know how they think, I'm betting. But I'm curious how you work with customers to figure out Microsoft's likely responses. I try to do this too in my questions when I'm a journalist. I try to think, I'm going to ask them this and they're going to say this. So how do you tell customers, here's how you devise a fallback position with them when they don't get what they want?
Yeah, so first of all, it is a lot of it based on experience, not just within Microsoft, but dealing with customers over the last number of years in all different industries and all different geographies and all different sizes. So we actually see the types of responses Microsoft is giving now. And so based on those two items, we estimate on what Microsoft is going to say first for their response. Now, first response is usually no, and we understand that. But when you ask Microsoft, well, why the no? Then if you put some thought towards it, you could then say, well, oh, well, based on that, we should be doing this. And that's where, based on our experience, we can provide that. And offense versus defense is an interesting thing. You probably have, as a customer, a relationship with Microsoft, and executive relationships are key in the negotiation process. If you can have one of your executives have a relationship with Microsoft over time, so that when you don't get to the final part that you need, you can escalate, you'll come out with a better outcome. So executive relationships are key. And it's okay to be confrontational with Microsoft. They might not like it at the time, but they still need to work with you over the course of time. And so it's okay to, you know, escalate and have your account exec not be too happy about it, because in a couple of months, they'll be back to normal and talking to you about the next big thing.
Right. Okay. So is there anything else you suggest customers do in terms of negotiation preparation to make sure they stay on top of the process?
First of all, understand that Microsoft negotiation is a give-get type of model, or a give and take. If you ask for a big discount, well, then you might have to give up a concession. Or if you've asked for a concession in limitation of liability, you might have to give up some discount. And so building a negotiation outline that has probably four or five tradeaways for every one that you're going to get will be something that you need to put some thought to. Because if you only go in and ask for three things, you're going to get one. Mm-hmm. If you go ask for 20, you'll probably get the three or four or five that you need. Now, who needs to be involved to make sure that that's the negotiation outline is prepared right and then you're following it? Is really the core team that is involved in the negotiation or for in the EA renewal that you need to involve in this process, because sometimes Microsoft will give an answer that is financially related. Sometimes they'll give an answer that's technically related. Sometimes they'll give an answer that falls squarely in procurement, and your core team will then need to devise answers accordingly. Last thing about this, though, and I mentioned it earlier, you need to have both IT and procurement lead and be the face-to-face with Microsoft. If you don't, Microsoft, and you only have technical, Microsoft will talk about all the business stuff and the technical person might not know. And if you bring the procurement person, Microsoft's going to talk about all of the technical things and the procurement person is not going to know. Mm-hmm. Having them both side by each in front of Microsoft gives you the greatest likelihood of a positive outcome.
Okay, makes sense. All right. I think it's a good time to take a quick break so I can talk a little more about what we do here at Directions on Microsoft. First and foremost, in spite of our name, we are not affiliated with Microsoft, as you can probably tell from this podcast. We provide product strategy and licensing information about Microsoft Enterprise products, but we don't work for Microsoft. Among the many services we do offer here are our regular Microsoft licensing boot camps, which are designed to help customers new to licensing get up to speed and veterans to refresh their knowledge all about Microsoft licensing. Our next in-person boot camp is coming up very soon. It's September 12th to 14th in Bellevue, Washington, right near Microsoft. The next one after that, which is online only, is October 30th to November 3rd. These in-depth boot camps offer attendees the most up-to-date Microsoft licensing information out there. We also offer advisory services like EA negotiation support and Microsoft strategy assessments, where we help you one-on-one with your specific Microsoft product questions and licensing issues. Go to directionsonmicrosoft.com or email info@directionsonmicrosoft.com to learn more about all the different services that we offer. Okay, back to negotiation. Here's the fun stuff, Dean. Let's talk about some of the potential pitfalls you work with customers to avoid during the negotiation phase.
The number one pitfall, the biggest thing that customers do not do, is allocate enough time to the negotiation process. Sometimes Microsoft takes weeks to get the first response. And if you've only allocated a month to negotiation, now you only have one round. Microsoft would prefer you to have a short negotiation cycle because then they don't have to give as much. But you need to allocate the appropriate time. We recommend at least 3 months to negotiate back and forth with Microsoft. That'll allow Microsoft the appropriate time to respond, and it'll allow you to attain the concessions that you need for a positive outcome. Another pitfall that customers have is not being crisp on your request. And it's not just, oh, I would like this discount. It's the why. What's the business reason? What's the regulatory reason that you need this? It's not just, I need to have a discount I need to have a discount because it aligns to my already approved financial budgets that have been submitted for the next 3 years. That sounds like it's a request that is embedded in a business request. And if you're crisp on those types of requests, you have a better chance of getting the concession. And it must be crisp. It can't be written or read off a piece of paper. It has to be as crisp as you're just talking to the person, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. It must be crisp, and what's your business reason behind it? And Microsoft does approve things based on the business reason. They don't approve it just based on the request. So being crisp, having enough time, will give you a better chance of getting the concessions that you need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you say they need at least 3 months for a good outcome, but how do they budget their time during that negotiation process so they don't fall short?
Yeah, so normally we recommend the entire process of an EA negotiation to be between 6 and 9 months. It takes about 3 months for discovery, 1 month for analysis, and about 3 months for negotiation. But the negotiation outline takes about a month. And so you need to spend the appropriate effort in your project plan to make sure all those activities are taken into account. And the negotiation outline isn't a month worth of activity. It's a month worth of back and forth internally to say, if for the negotiation outline creation, is say, do you understand this? Are you, you know, do you understand how you're going to talk to Microsoft? And if they challenge you, what's your fallback position? And you need to make sure in the creation of the negotiation outline that you include business input, legal input, finance input, IT input, procurement input, all aspects of the business. And you will need that 3 months going back and forth with Microsoft probably 5 to 8 times in order to get to the desired outcome. And why you do the 3 months is, as I said, it might take Microsoft 4 weeks, 3 weeks to get the first response back. And then the cadence of responses for Microsoft will be a little bit shorter. But you need to allow them time to respond. They need to go to the different people within Microsoft to get the appropriate approvals. However, you need to respond quickly. So although Microsoft might respond 3 weeks on the first round, you need to respond within a couple of days. And this is important because if you're responding in a timely fashion and Microsoft is not, you have a reason to escalate based on your executive relationships that we talked about earlier to go gain the final little push that you need to get this deal done.
I'm internally chuckling to myself because so much of this sounds like the journalism process too, like where you ask Microsoft for a comment and you know they may take quite a while to get the comment because they have to get the right people to actually approve the comment. And then if you don't respond right away, it's like, oh, well, I guess you don't care anymore, reporter, and we're done. All right. In terms of keeping tabs on all of this give and take that you're describing during the negotiation process, I'm curious if there are tools that you suggest customers use, or how do you suggest they keep up to date with where things are at and what's next?
So what we do at Directions is that we produce a document where we track the comments. What did we say in request? What did Microsoft say and when? What's our response? Microsoft subsequent response. So it allows us to keep a running track by the different requests. So it would be important for a customer to do that. There is no real tool that we recommend. It could be in Word, it could be in Excel. It doesn't really matter as long as you can track each individual request and then track comments to that. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would recommend, though, is don't redline the contracts and then go back and forth with comments on the contract itself. The best advice is to keep the original contract static and then do amendments and change it through amendments. So that way, when you get to the next round of negotiation, you know what the original contract was, you know what you had changed, and now you know what the new contract was. It's also important to not use the red lines and the bubbles or comments in, let's say, Word, because that's tracked at a person level. And if you actually happen to have a consultant, they'll actually see, oh, there's this third party person there providing comments.
Oh, wow.
And so no specific tools, just use Word, use Excel, but make sure you track each of those items that I identified before, the rationale, the priority, the fallback, et cetera. And then make sure you have the ability to track when Microsoft makes a comment and then what their comment is, and then your response back.
Okay. Good stuff. So if customers do hit a real roadblock during negotiation, I'm curious what you think they should and shouldn't do as far as escalation goes. We've talked about escalation a little bit. Are there guidelines that you have as in terms of like how far they should go in terms of escalating?
Yeah, that's a great question. Oftentimes customers say, well, I don't have a relationship and what do I do? And other times customers say, I've got a relationship with the most senior people. You know, when do I escalate? What do I say? First of all, escalation is not a bad thing, but it's not about whining. It can't just be, oh, I would like this. There has to be the business case. And it can't be an escalation of every single thing that you want. It has to come down to maybe the top two or three priorities. And then the escalation, because you have a relationship, becomes fairly easy. Hey, Mr. Whoever at Microsoft, you know, we've come to a crossroads and we just need these two or three things in order to get this to be done on time and have a positive outcome. Being done on time is important to Microsoft so that, you know, you're not having any lapse of coverage for your licenses. But escalating is not a bad thing. How far should they go? First of all, it depends on who you are. If you're an iconic brand in the market and you're very large, you might escalate to Satya. You might escalate to Judson. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you're smaller, you might only escalate two or three rounds up. The recommendation, though, is escalate as high as you feel comfortable escalating. Not to say that the senior people at Microsoft will not push this down, but once it's escalated, then there's a communication that needs to happen within Microsoft so that they're aware, so that the next time the escalation or the response comes from, let's say, your CIO to the person at Microsoft, at least they're aware of things. And so go as high as you can. That is why it's important to identify the hierarchy within Microsoft. You know, understand who your account exec reports to, who their boss reports to, all the way up the chain, as high as you can go. It's not just escalating to your account exec's boss. It's escalating to someone that is senior in order to help you with the two or three final things with a win-win outcome as the goal. It's not just give me all these things, Microsoft. It's if you do these things, this will enable deployment. This will enable me to leverage these tools. This will enable me to get this agreement on time. Mm-hmm. And then the senior manager can say, okay, if that's the case, I might be able to get you these two things, but we'll trade away that. And now you have the basis for what the final contract will be. So mm-hmm. escalate as high as you can. It's okay.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Any parting words of advice around the whole EA negotiation process that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Document and prepare. This is going to take time. This isn't the EA renewal of 10 years ago where, well, we have this product, we're using it or we're not, and we could go dark. This involves finance and legal and procurement and IT and security and compliance. And if you do this wrong, you could be on the hook for a lot of money because you didn't know some of the rules. Document everything that you have. Prepare going into the enterprise agreement renewal. Prepare for the negotiation outline. And then recognize this negotiation is going to take time. It's going to take 3 months to negotiate. You might have a procurement cycle that takes 2 days or 6 weeks to get the deal approved internally. You need to build that into the plan. If you have less time, you're going to get less of a deal. And also hold your ground. Doesn't mean when Microsoft says this is the best and final, this is the final, we're not going anymore, this is it. Well, there could be a best and final, there could be another best and final, there could be another best and final. It's okay. If you have a real business requirement in Microsoft's heart, they are trying to help you. And so if you have a business requirement that you could articulate, they will usually find some common ground. And there are a number of levers, negotiation levers, that you can pull in order to help Microsoft provide you the best outcome, such as a competitive viable alternative. If you have a competitor out there that you could leverage, Microsoft may give you some more discount, as an example. And we'll cover those competitive alternatives or the negotiation levers in a future podcast.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time and your advice, Dean. Really appreciate it. Next up in the EA Advisory podcast series is just what Dean was talking about, negotiation levers or levers. You can pronounce it either way. Make sure you come back for even more EA negotiation tips and tricks from Dean. To close, I want to remind our listeners they can find lots more coverage of all things Microsoft related over on directions on Microsoft.com. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any specific topics that you would like to hear the directions analysts cover in one of these future podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me via Twitter at Mary Jo Foley. And speaking of Twitter, we at Directions have converged our existing Twitter channels into a single new platform. So give us a follow at DirectionsMSFT on Twitter for all the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thank you very much.